The U.S.-Saudi pursuit of a deal that would let the oil-rich kingdom enrich uranium has regional players, including Turkey and Egypt, paying close attention. At the first sign that Saudi enrichment plans might move past fuel and toward a weapon, the world could see copycats. That's what experts like Kelsey Davenport, Director for Nonproliferation Policy at the Arms Control Association, suggested to Howard LaFranchi for his story today. Even countries that might not move immediately in response to a deal might take steps to respond to security threats in the future. Howard looks at what that means. Also, don't miss our report today on Wisconsin's gubernatorial race. Another race that's generating discussion is Michigan's Democratic Senate primary race, which showcases different views of the party's future. Simon Motlick previewed that race last week. It's Tuesday, August 4th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky fired his ambassador to the United States. The move comes amid a period of turmoil within the Ukrainian government, with President Zelensky firing both his popular defense minister and the commander-in-chief of the Ukrainian military. At a Monitor breakfast last Thursday, Ambassador Olga Stefanishina told reporters that she was planning to return to Ukraine soon to fight charges of corruption, and that President Zelensky doesn't want me to resign. She served in Washington for less than a year. Cuba was plunged into an island-wide blackout for the sixth time this year. Cuba has faced a growing energy crisis for years, but until January, it had lifelines such as oil shipments from allied Venezuela to keep its outdated energy grid functioning. The Caribbean island's energy crisis was exacerbated this year by the U.S. capture of Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro and a United States blockade on oil sent to Cuba. Amid the power outages and sweltering summer heat, some Cubans are sleeping outdoors and hospitals are trying to install solar panels in order to keep operating, according to the Associated Press. Also, a border that once divided Germany now protects its wildlife. The 870-mile-long corridor, which is only 164 feet wide, is known as Germany's Green Belt. It is home to more than 1,200 endangered animal and plant species, according to the Federal Agency for Nature Conservation. For decades, civilians were largely excluded from the border zone, which prevented habitat loss that occurred in other parts of Germany. Today, most of the strip is protected, according to a Deutsche Welle news report, providing sanctuary for many species and habitats that were wiped out or are rare in the rest of the country. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Wisconsin, a political bellwether, might see a Democratic takeover after 15 years of Republican rule. But having a socialist at the top of the ticket raises questions for some voters. Simon Motlick reports from Madison, Wisconsin for the Monitor. Migration remains one of the thorniest issues across Europe, dividing opinion in many countries. Images of thousands of migrants surging from Morocco into the Spanish city of Ceuta in North Africa have led European Union ministers to try to find new solutions, balancing legality with compassion. Colette Davidson reports from Paris for the Monitor. In the wake of the U.S.-Saudi nuclear deal, other countries are asking whether they too need to develop nuclear power. Experts say that proliferation could also lead them to think eventually about developing nuclear weapons. Howard LaFranchi reports from Washington for the Monitor. The movie Spider-Man: Brand New Day offers more than web-entangled action about battling crime. It also asks what it really means to grow up or to make fresh starts for Peter Parker and for us. Ken Macon writes for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on Iran's war on its home front. Ask an Iranian in Tehran these days how the war is going, and you might get this response. Which war? The on-again, off-again war on Iran by U.S. President Donald Trump? Or the war inside Iran by a regime whose new fear campaign against its people appears to be backfiring? Since January, when Iran saw the largest unrest since the 1979 Islamic Revolution, executions of political dissenters have surged. In late July, the regime escalated its intimidation tactics by holding the first public executions since 2022, but not before a large crowd tried to stop the construction of gallows in a public square. Videos on social media show security forces in the central city of Isfahan chasing protesters before two young men were hanged. The protest on July 28th clearly demonstrate that the relative calm on Iran's street since the January massacre and amid the war should not be mistaken for reconciliation with the government. Bahar Gandahari, director of advocacy for the Center for Human Rights in Iran, told the New Arab. Those acts of defiance, as well as frequent protests by retirees against worsening livelihoods, have helped shatter the narrative that Iranians are united behind their country's war against the United States and Israel. While a nationwide uprising is unlikely, such as the one in January in which thousands were killed, the biggest threat to the Islamic Republic is not the U.S. and Israeli military operations, former United Nations prosecutor and professor Payam Akhavan told Iran International. It is the Iranian people first and foremost. An opinion survey in June showed at least one quarter of Iranians participated in January's protest. Dissatisfaction with the regime is running at 71%, according to the poll by the Netherlands-based Group for Analyzing and Measuring Attitudes in Iran. Perhaps more important, 59% oppose Iran acquiring nuclear weapons. If the U.S. is playing the long game on preventing a nuclear Iran, it might better count less on American bombs than on the Iranian people. Absent a dramatic change of conditions in the country, much improved economy, fewer social restrictions, stabilized security situation, a new window for large-scale popular unrest will eventually open, Farzan Sabat, an Iran expert at the Geneva Graduate Institute, told the New Arab. Or as three political prisoners wrote in a statement released last month, no government can achieve legitimacy or security by the accumulation of corpses and a fear production line. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcast. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, instead of limiting us, humility enables us to experience more of God's great harmonizing power. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton, Mackenzie Farkas, and Olivia Fletcher.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.